Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible says all of humanity is dead in sin. Only through the intervention of God can that proclivity to sin be changed. That's good news. A remedy has been found that can turn a sinner into a saint. Today, some final thoughts about sin and its cure. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. We're wrapping up the sin we rationalize by looking at how things were just after the Garden of Eden.
Cain could have had the same blessing as Abel. God said to him, Cain, if you do good, if you bring the right sacrifice, you can be accepted by me just like your brother Abel. But there was something in Cain that said, I don't want what my brother Abel wants. I'm not satisfied with that. There is a cauldron that is burning within me, and the only thing that will extinguish it is the blood of my brother. I want to kill him because of the fact that you accepted him. Have you ever noticed how we delight in the fall of others? Some of you have a problem with gossip. I'm tempted to say, shame on you. I won't, but I guess I just did, didn't I? You take delight and you pass gossip around like an hors d'oeuvre at a happy hour, wanting to tell others the way others have failed. Where does that evil and sin come from? It arises within the human heart. So Augustine saw that he was guilty and polluted. Now, the next point needs a little bit of clarification, and you need to think about this for a moment. He also knew that though he sinned by one kind of necessity, because he was a sinner, obviously he would therefore sin, he also knew that that sin was not absolutely necessary to be a human being. And that's why he felt guilty about it. If we sinned like a bird grows feathers, we wouldn't feel guilty about the sin because that is physical necessity. But Augustine said, we don't sin by physical necessity, but we do sin voluntarily, and that's why we feel this sense of guilt. And sin, strictly speaking, is not necessary to human nature as proved by the fall, because prior to the fall, Adam and Eve were fully human, though they did not have a sin nature, nor had they sinned. And Augustine said, that's why we feel this sense of shame and this sense of guilt. And we all do, if we're honest. Then, he also concluded that nobody can change his own nature. He knew that he couldn't change his. He looked around and knew that no one can change his desires at will. You can't choose to get up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore and not do that, particularly if it's an addiction. You might be able to curb some things, but your fundamental nature can't be changed by you. You are who you are. The Bible asks the question. It says, can a leopard change his spots, Jeremiah said, speaking on behalf of God. And God says, then you who love evil can also begin to love good. The answer is no, you can't. You need God's intervention. And thank God that that's where grace comes in our predicament. Let me therefore summarize what I'm trying to say very briefly as we think about bringing this down and making it transforming for all of us. First, Calvin was absolutely right when he said we can have no knowledge of who we are until we know who God is. If you don't know who God is, you don't know who you are. You'll rationalize who you are. You'll excuse who you are. You'll bungle along taking all the good things that you've done, because you've probably done a lot of good things, and you'll try to balance them with the bad things and hope that it comes out. But if you know who God is, you know that that does not work. The sin that you have on your conscience today, a sin that you have committed, you will be guilty of 10 years from now. You will be guilty of that sin 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, and 1,000,000 years from now. You'll still be guilty of that same sin unless God takes it away. That's the nature of sin. Once you begin to fall, you have to continue to fall. And you can't right your direction. 1,000 years of suffering will not take away your guilt before God. And that's why suffering, incidentally, has to be eternal unless God intervenes. Secondly, salvation is God's intervention. Oh, praise God for verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, and the next message in this series is the salvation, the gospel that we proclaim, where all that I'm going to do is continue on in this passage, explaining what salvation is now that we've looked at what sin is. That's the next message in the series, that God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, even when we were deceived, even when we are depraved, God, who is rich in mercy, comes to the graveyard and says, arise, be connected with me. The barrier of sin is taken away by faith in Jesus, and we can be reunited with God, and your eternal penalty has been borne. Praise be to God. You've heard it before, but I was 14 years old on a farm, really not into a lot of sins as young people know them today. There wasn't a great opportunity to sin a whole lot, but still overwhelmed with such a sense of sin, I knew I needed a Savior. And my parents recognized that. They prayed with me, and as I mentioned, this past summer, it was my privilege to go back to that very room where I received Christ 50 years ago, and I knelt again to thank him for his marvelous mercy. Because 50 years ago, God came to that farmhouse, and in effect, though I heard no voice, and I didn't recognize it at the time, God says, Erwin Lutzer, be raised from the dead. And God spoke the word, overcame my blindness, granted me the ability to believe and to trust Jesus as my Savior, and I was converted. Let me tell you another conversion story, and that is Augustine himself, whom we referred to earlier. Augustine was immoral. He was living with someone who was not his wife. He was involved in many sins in his youth, and his father was a pagan, so his father was totally okay with that. I mean, if you're a pagan and the lines of morality are blurred, you're not too worried about a son who follows in your footsteps. But he had a very godly mother by the name of Monica, and Monica prayed for her son and prayed for him. And Augustine, according to his story, he was in a garden. And some way, and it seems strange, I'm not sure if he was clear on it, he seemed to hear a child say, take up and read. I don't know what the child was saying. But Augustine had been given a New Testament, which he had avoided and ignored. And he decided to open it somewhat arbitrarily, usually a bad idea, but actually better than not opening it at all. And he opened the Bible, and it fell on these words. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. He read that and the light broke and he knew that he needed a Savior and he trusted Christ right there, and Augustine was converted. So I have a question to ask you today before I end. You may be in this sanctuary at the Moody Church in Chicago. You may be listening by way of internet, radio, whatever other method you've picked up this message. And so I have a question for you. Are you converted? Has a light come to your soul that you need Jesus to connect you to God? The way in which you're going is the wrong way. You need to trust Christ as Savior. And in trusting him, your sin is taken away, your penalty is canceled, and you have the prospect of living in the presence of Jesus forever. That is the gospel that I'll explain in more detail next week. But you've heard enough right now to savingly believe. So if you will, let us pray. Father, who can speak to the dead and say, be alive? Who can speak to the deaf and say, hear? Who can say to the blind, see? That's your work. However imperfectly the gospel may have been preached today, I pray that many right now may believe and trust Christ as Savior in this sanctuary and others who are listening. And I'm speaking to you now, you as people. Wherever you are, if you've never believed on Jesus, would you do that right now? If you're in the balcony, lower floor, this is your moment to be brought out of the graveyard. If God has talked to you, he wants to beget life in you. You talk to God now, and you trust Christ. Father, whatever work you're doing in the human heart, bring it to completion. May those who are struggling overcome, Father, their resistance. To those who do not understand, bring them understanding. But right now, may they trust your mercy and your grace as given to us in Jesus. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. Amen. My friend, today I appeal to you, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, do that right now. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you. Do not stifle that voice. And if you come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of our ministry, we'd love to hear about it. We hope that you'll take time to connect with us, that we might know that we've been a blessing to you. Thanks so much to the many of you who have joined us, and we'll see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Sin We Rationalize, another message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time, message number 6, which tells all about the gospel we proclaim. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.